Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Looking back on your years of school, I know some of you are still in school. Is there a final exam that really stands out to you? Like a final exam that you just particularly remember? I have two. When I was in high school, I did not care about grades at all. I did not study. We would have to read a book and write a paper. I wouldn't read the book. I'd just write a paper on a book I didn't read. I just didn't care. I still was able to get B's and some A's, and that was like good enough for me. Except in my senior year of high school, on my final exam in English, I got an F. There was a question and answer part of the test, and then there was a creative writing part. We had an assignment. We had to write a story at home, bring it in, and turn it in with our final exam. And it turns out I did really well on the question and answer part and got a zero on the written story part that I had turned in. Didn't understand. Like, creative writing was one of the things I was good at. Like, I wrote these funny stories. I was like, that's something I'm good at. So I went and talked to my English teacher, and I said, why did I get a zero on my writing part? She said, you got a zero because you turned in a story that you wrote for your English class last year. I asked her, how did you know that I wrote that story for my English class last year? She said, I knew because last year your English teacher liked the story so much he read it to all the teachers in the teacher break room and I remembered it. I said, okay. But who cares that I wrote it last year? The topic I wrote it on fit this year's assignment, so what does it matter? She said, it was plagiarism. I said, wait, let me get this straight. Are you saying that I plagiarized myself? And she said, it does sound odd when you say it that way, but yes, it was plagiarism. I said, no, you can't plagiarize yourself. You can't. Like, that's not a thing. I'm like, you gave us an assignment. You did not say it had to be something we'd never written before. What I wrote fit the assignment. It's good. If you wanted something that I'd never written before, you should have said so. She said, it was plagiarism. No, you can't plagiarize yourself. I got an F. I went off to college, and I started for the first time caring about my grades. I studied a lot. I got like all A's, except I got an F on my final exam in statistics. My statistics professor was a Canadian guy, which really doesn't matter, but he was always saying, about. He would be like, as we look at this survey, about, and this week you have to read chapter 4, which is about. And so anyway, came to final exam week. I studied real hard, but I got sick, like really sick, bad flu, was on medicine, just doing horrible. Went to take my final exam. This is a true story. I answered a question or two and fell asleep taking my exam. I was rudely awakened by all this noise. I looked up and realized that everyone was turning in their exams and leaving the classroom, and I'm like, holy crap, I fell asleep. So I went run up to the professor and I was like, listen, I studied hard. I was here the whole time you saw me, but I fell asleep. I'm sick. I'm on medicine. Like, I fell asleep when I started taking the exam. Could I please have more time? And he shook his head no, and he said, sorry, you should have thought about that when you closed your eyes during the test. Final exams. Today, we are concluding a series that we've been doing for a few weeks called Imagine Heaven. Next week, we're doing something really different, fun, cool for Mother's Day. It's not like a mom, like you cannot be a mom, you cannot be a woman, you're still going to like it, but it's going to be good. And then we're starting a new series week after that I'm really excited about called The Cost of Not. The Cost of Not. We're going to talk about like how do you live a life where you don't have regrets kind of a thing. It's going to be good. But we've been doing this series called Imagine Heaven, and we're looking at what people who died but then were like resuscitated. This has become my symbol for resuscitated. Okay, got it? Yeah. What did they say happened to them while they were dead? And it's fascinating because they don't say, well, I was asleep, nothing happened. They describe what happened to them, and what they say lines up exactly with what the Bible says is going to happen to us after we die. Like, people from all different religions, atheists, people from different parts of the world all say the same thing, And it's exactly what we should expect based on what the Bible says. So, I want you to think about final exams again for a minute. I want you to imagine that you're taking a class, okay? This class matters to you. Like, your grade in this class really matters. And so you study hard. Like, you focus on calculus. You study calculus. You read books on calculus. You hire a tutor to teach you calculus. You study calculus like crazy. Finally, the day of the final exam comes. You show up for the exam. You get the exam, and you discover that it's on chemistry. Chemistry. And you realize, I've been studying the wrong thing the whole year. Everything I did was a waste. It was all wrong. I learned the wrong thing. I studied the wrong thing. I read the wrong thing. It was all wrong. And you look at this test, and you realize, I'm going to get a really bad grade because I have not spent any time on chemistry. I spent all my time on calculus. How would you feel? How would you feel if you spent all your time on calculus and your test was on chemistry? How would you feel? We're going to get back to that in a minute. But let's think again about these people who have been declared clinically dead and then come back. And so millions of people have been declared clinically dead only to be brought back to life. And many of them share that when they were dead, something happened to them. But what they say is that they hovered over their body. They found themselves in a new body, dead but alive. They hovered over their old body, looked down on what was happening to them. And what's interesting is they describe in such detail what happened to them that many, many doctors have become convinced that what they say is legitimate, because there's no way they could have known about the details of the surgery they were going under without being able to observe it. So they say that then what happened is they are whisked away to a different place, and there they met this divine man in white, and they had a life review. They were given this kind of life review. For instance, there's a guy named Howard Storm. When he died, he was a professor. He was an atheist. And he describes that he died and that he was transported to this horrific place of outer darkness. Once he got there, he yelled out, he called out for Jesus to rescue him, and he was rescued, he says. And then he says what happened next. He went off to meet this divine man in white. It says, they asked me, I'll have it on the screen, they asked me if I would like to see my life. Unsure of what to expect, I agreed. The record of my life was their record, not my memory of my life. We watched and experienced episodes that were from the point of view of a third party. The scenes they showed me were often of incidents I had forgotten. They showed their effects on people's lives of which I'd had no previous knowledge. They reported the thoughts and feelings of people I had interacted with, which I had been unaware of at the time. They showed me scenes from my life that I would not have chosen, and they eliminated scenes from my life that I wanted them to see. It was a complete surprise to me that my life history was being presented. Howard Storm and countless others all talk about this life review and say it was the most significant thing that happened to them in their moments of death. Now, according to near-death experience researchers, NDE, near-death experience. According to NDE researchers, this life review is what has the most dramatic effect on a person's life after they're brought back from death. That when they continue on with their life, many make radical changes because of what happened in this life review. So, what is this life review? Well, it's not the judgment. There's a lot of misunderstanding about this, but when you read the Bible, you realize that it seems there are going to be two judgments. The Bible talks about two different judgments. Both happen after the history of earth is complete, so neither has happened yet. Two judgments. One reveals whether we accepted or rejected God's offer while we lived our life here on earth. See, because God is for us, he offers us his love, his forgiveness, and to save us from ourselves, from our sins, through what Jesus did on the cross for us. He offers to adopt us into relationship with him as his children and to bring us to be with him in heaven forever. Okay, so God is for us, he loves us, and he wants everyone to accept his offer. That's what he desires, so that we can be in relationship with him now and in heaven forever. But he's given us the free choice. He's given us free will, and so we have to choose whether to accept or reject that offer. So the first judgment that we're going to go through, and you'll see why, some people call the great white throne judgment. Sounds kind of like, you'll see why in a second. But it reveals the decision that we made in this life. So let me show you in the Bible. We're going to put all the verses from the Bible on the screen so you can read them. If you don't own a Bible, we'd love to give you one as a free gift today back at the Velcro Bar, which are connecting places. Grab a Bible. There's a Bible reading plan if you want to follow that. It gives you something to read each day. So Revelation chapter 20 talks about this. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne," there you go, "and him who is seated on it. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books." Now, we can't fool God at this point. Right? It's not going to be like, "Oh no, but I did." Like he knows our hearts, and that judgment will reveal the decision that we truly made in our lives. One thing that's really interesting is that NDEers, people had near-death experiences, across the globe, regardless of where they're from, their cultural upbringing, their religious upbringing, they all talk about the books of heaven. Honestly, when I read that, I would think it's probably symbolic that there's books, but they all say they saw actual books. So, for instance, there's these two researchers who we've mentioned in the series, Osis and Harold Sin. Some of you have been here and you know there's like extra S's in the middle of his name. And so as far as I see, his name is Harold Sin. But they report that Hindus from India who have had near-death experiences never talk about reincarnation. They don't say, "Yeah, I died. There was that's what they should talk about based on what they believe." Never talk about that. They never talk about disillusion into Brahma. So the end goal of Hinduism is that you'll reincarnate until finally you reach divinity, basically, and you become part of the divine consciousness, which is Brahma, and you just dissolve it. They never say that. What they all say is that I met a divine man in white who held books of judgment. Exactly what the Bible says will happen. So this first judgment reveals whether people put their faith in Jesus. It's a judgment to determine, are you going to get into heaven or not? And listen, no one can get in on their own merits. No one can. The Bible says, speaking of heaven, we'll put it on the screen, says nothing impure will ever enter it, okay? And thank God for that. We said last week, right? We don't want it to get all messed up with our sin and our selfishness. The Bible says nothing impure will ever enter it. The problem is we're all impure, all of us. But God loves us, so he makes this offer. If you just put your faith in Jesus, his death on the cross will remove all of your sins, all of your impurity, so you can have a relationship with God now and forever with God in heaven. And that is exactly what God wants. Like, he passionately wants that for you because he loves you, and he wants you to have the assurance that when you die, there is nothing to fear. Because you can know for sure that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven to be with God forever. And you can have that. Today, right after this service, we've got some people who are going to be getting baptized. I don't know if you noticed the little hot tubby jacuzzi thing over there, but they're going to get baptized, and if you want to stay and watch that, celebrate that, you can. When someone gets baptized, that's kind of a commitment to and a celebration of making that decision that I know that I can't be good enough to get into heaven, but that God loves me so much, he made this offer. I say yes. I'm putting my faith in Jesus, what he did on the cross. And so baptism is the celebration of that. And so people getting baptized today have made that decision, and they can know for sure, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Okay? And it has nothing to do with any goodness in my life. It's just about what Jesus did on the cross. Now, check this though. That doesn't mean that our good or bad deeds done on earth don't matter. It turns out that they affect our experience of eternity. And that brings us to the second judgment, which some people call the Bema Seat Judgment. Huh? We'll see that in a second. I'll explain why. This is a judgment not to determine do you get into heaven or not. That's already been determined in the first judgment based on the decision you made during your life. This is a judgment for people who are getting into heaven. Okay, in a book called 2 Corinthians in the Bible, written to a bunch of Christians or to a church, in chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." The word translated judgment says we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's translated from the Greek word bema, and it referred to the judges' seats at the ancient games, like the ancient Olympics, and it was the judges' stand where they would give out the rewards for people who had won a good race. And so they used to give out crowns. And so this is a judgment of rewards that the Bible's talking about. God is going to review our lives, and he will reward us for those moments when we lived a life of love, when we shared our faith, when we invested our lives, our money, our resources into his kingdom. And that reward is going to be received at this Bema Seat Judgment. Now, again, I just have to be clear. I know I'm repeating myself, but it's so important to me. We don't earn God's love or acceptance into heaven. We can't. It's a gift that he freely offers. We choose to accept or reject it, okay? But our deeds, how we live our life here on earth, does determine our experience of heaven, okay? You can almost think of the Bema Seat Judgment as almost like a huge Oscar celebration, like Academy Awards kind of thing, for all of God's children throughout history. God promises that he is going to recognize and reward every single person. And it's going to be like the most amazing and satisfying thing we can imagine. Here's how Jesus said it. He called himself the Son of Man a lot. He said in Matthew 16, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." And guess what? When NDE people talk about what they experience in their moments of death, they talk about getting kind of a preview of this life review. There's another NDE researcher who I've mentioned in the past couple weeks named Pim Van Lommel. So here's what I think. I think there should be like a TV show, and it should be called Harold Sisson and Pim Van Lommel, like NDE, Detectives at Law, Wong. Like, that sounds awesome to me. I don't think there's anything, actually, there's no profession detective at law. I just totally made up that entire profession. But if it was called Harold Sisson and Pim Van Lommel, I'm watching it. I apologize, I'm weird. Most of you are just staring at me very blankly right now. Okay, I get it. So anyway, here's what Pim Van Lommel says about his research of interviewing all these thousands of people who have had near-death experiences. He says, "The life review is usually experienced in the presence of the light, or a being of light. During a panoramic life review, people experience not just their every action or word, but also every thought from their past life. And they experience the effects of their thoughts, words, and actions on other people." People can talk for hours or even days about their life review, even though the cardiac arrest lasted only a couple of minutes. But we talked about that in a previous week, that the Bible says time in eternity is going to be different than time here. And these people who have had a taste of death claim that even though maybe they were on an operating table dead for 6 minutes, that it felt infinitely long when they were experiencing the afterlife. So what's fascinating is that regardless of cultural upbringing or religious upbringing, this life review appears consistent around the globe. One of the thing that people who have who are kind of cynical about all this, and I've told you I am, one of the things people wonder is, maybe this whole thing is just something that American Christians think. because it so matches up with the Bible. And so they question, they wonder, maybe it's because they grew up learning the Bible, they know all these verses, so when they die, they imagine all of this happened, and that's why it lines up so perfectly with the Bible. So to try to prove that that might be true, they've looked at people from other cultures who have never seen a Bible, who are raised in a different religion, to see, is what they're saying different? And it's not. It's amazingly consistent. So there's another NDE researcher named Steve Miller. Not the Steve Miller who was a gangster of love and who you can call Maurice. So here's what we need. We need a TV show called Harold, and like with the theme music from Steve Miller Band, with this Steve Miller, like called Haroldson and Pim Pam Lommel, Magicians at Law. And then the theme song could be Abra, Abra, Kadabra from Steve Miller Band. And I don't know. That sounds awesome to me, but not to you guys, apparently, right? Are you all wondering, like, what are we doing here? Why are we listening to this guy? I get that. All right. So Steve Miller, not that Steve Miller, he's an NDE researcher. He studied non-Western, non-Christian people who had had near-death experiences. Here's what he says. In my non-Western sample, I saw no significant difference in life reviews compared to Western life reviews. Across the globe, everyone says the same thing. Now, they say it differently. If you study it, you go, oh, it's a little different. Like, for instance, some people describe their life review as feeling like they watched a movie of myself and my life. There are others who say, I felt like I was watching a panoramic review of my life. There are others who say, it felt almost like watching a PowerPoint presentation of my life. So they use different words to communicate it, but they all seem to be describing the very same thing. And they all experienced not only watching their actions, but to their amazement, seeing an observation of even their secret thoughts and motives that no one could have ever known, all exposed before them. Which, by the way, is exactly what the Bible promises is going to happen to us when we die. Exactly. So there's a book in the Bible called 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. So there is going to come a moment when all your thoughts and motives are going to be exposed, and that's the time when you get your reward from God for how you lived. Okay? So, according to the Bible, and people who have supposedly experienced these tastes of death, we are going to be judged. There's going to be a first judgment where it's going to be revealed, did you accept or reject God's offer to have a relationship with Him and go to heaven based on putting your faith in Jesus and what He did for you on the cross? Then there's going to be a second judgment for people who are going to heaven, and our lives will be reviewed and judged to reward us according to the good that we did in this life. And to some degree, that reward, what happens in that life review, is going to affect our experience of heaven for all eternity. So let's think a little bit more about this Bema seat judgment and what it means for how we should live our lives today, okay? When you get to that moment, okay, and like if you said yes to Jesus, you're going to go in going, I know I'm getting in because it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with Jesus. So you get in, but now you go up to experience the second judgment, and it's going to be a review of your life. You're going to realize this is it, right? This is it. Like my whole life, I felt like life, you know, what really mattered was money, or popularity, or prestige mattered, or power mattered, you know, the size of my house mattered, the car I drove mattered. And in this moment of your life review, you're going to go, okay, I'm about to find out what mattered, right? No more guessing. When this life review happens, I will know what mattered. And what you're going to discover mattered is love. It's love. Life was all about, only about love. That's what the Bible teaches us. Jesus said all of life is about loving God and loving people, and that's it. And all these people who have had near-death experiences confirmed when they looked at their life, when they had it reviewed, that all that mattered was love. That's all that mattered. So listen, like we may accomplish great things in the world's eyes. We might be incredibly successful in the world's eyes, and that's fine. But if it turns out that we didn't love God in our families, and our friends, and our neighbors, and our coworkers, and poor and hurting people who God put in our path along the way, we'll realize that we failed. What we thought was important wasn't, and that we failed. I mean, it would be like we studied for calculus and open our exam, and it's on chemistry. Right? Like, can you imagine getting to the end of your life, looking at your entire life, and realizing that you lived for the wrong thing? That what you thought was so important wasn't, and you ignored what was. And I'm hesitant to say this because I do not want to sound like I'm judging anybody. I got a ways to go too, okay? But I think we should imagine that, because I think most people, that is what we're going to experience. I think most of us are going to look at our lives and go, I failed. What I lived for, what I thought mattered, didn't matter. I failed at my entire life. Can you imagine realizing that what you lived for didn't matter? There's another NDE researcher. His name is Jeffrey Long. Boring. He notes that these NDEers, that when they experience their life review, here's their conclusion. He says, many things that seemed insignificant at the time, a small kindness, for instance, turn out to be significant in their own or another person's life. People realize they became angry over things that were not important, or that they placed too much significance on unimportant things. And this is why God tells us to live for what lasts forever. It only makes sense. Live for what lasts forever, right? God and people are the only things that last forever, and that's why life is about love. That's why when you get to your moment that you're going to have for your life review, the question that's going to be asked is, did you love God? And did you love people? Were you kind? Were you generous with your money and possessions? Or did you pretty much keep most all of it for yourself? Did you really worship God from your heart? Were your motives pure? Did you show compassion to hurting people? Did you try to meet the needs of the poor and overlooked when you had opportunity? Did you really love God? And did you really love people? That's it. If you did, what God is going to say to you, he promises in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And as you look at your life, you're going to see how it impacted the world, the good that you did, and you will be rewarded by God for it. What will the reward be? I don't know. Here's some ideas. So the Bible talks about crowns, like crowns. It says we're going to receive crowns in heaven. Does it mean that literally? I don't think so. I think it's just like symbolic of, like, you know, in the race they got crowns and we're going to get crowns. I just can't picture us walking around being like, look at the size of his crown. Dang! I don't think so. I don't think. The Bible also says that in heaven we will be rewarded. People who did good and were faithful will be rewarded by getting cities to rule over. Does it mean that literally? Maybe, I don't think so. But maybe, like, it's just hard for me to picture being like, oh man, you got Cleveland? How bad did you mess up your life? Like, really, you got Cleveland? Because, dude, I got Chicago. It doesn't seem right. But here's what I do know. I'm quite sure, because the Bible says this very clearly, that there's this idea that people who are faithful in their life on earth are going to be trusted with important and exciting responsibilities in heaven. So I think that's what it's referring to, is like, you're going to have some, I don't know what they'll be, but you're going to have some really cool things that you're responsible for, and you're going to be glad that you do. Here's another possibility. So there was an old preacher guy from the 1700s. Maybe you've heard his name, Jonathan Edwards. So he speculated that in heaven, we're each going to be completely full with God's love and joy. Okay, that's going to be what's so awesome about heaven. Okay, and he wondered that, kind of like cups can be full, but they're full depending on their capacity, right? Like, you can have a cup that's full, but it's a little cup. You can have a cup that's full, but it's a big cup. He wondered, is it possible that how we live our life here on earth enlarges or decreases our capacity, so our experience of God's love and joy in heaven will be the result, how much we can experience that, of how faithfully and lovingly we lived our lives on earth. Maybe. Here's what I've always thought, wondered. Will it just be that the reward that we get for all eternity is getting to see, to know the impact that we made by living faithful lives of love and being able to enjoy that for all eternity? I mean, listen, if you get to heaven and God shows you your life, you're going to realize the only thing that matters about my life is, did I get into heaven? Right? That's all that matters. Like, who cares about that life? The only thing that's going to matter for everyone is, did they get into heaven? And so if God shows you your life and you realize that you used your life to impact other people, best yet, to help other people get to heaven, can you imagine how rewarding that will be? Like, it's hard for me to imagine that anything else would matter to me other than knowing I was able to help some people get to heaven to be here for this. I don't think anything else will matter as much as that. Think about it. Like, really think about this. When you get there, when you live in eternity, you will not care how big of a house you lived in for your little blink of a life here on earth. You will only care about how many people you help get into mansions in heaven. Right? You will not care how many people followed you on Twitter or Instagram in your little blink of a life here on earth. You're only going to care how many, or how well you followed Jesus in your life on earth. Right? You're not going to care how much money you made in your little blink of a life here on earth. You're only going to care about how much money you gave away to help other people experience heaven. You're not going to care about how many Facebook friends you had in your little blink of a life here on earth. You're only going to care about how many of your friends are there with you in heaven. And so, live for what lasts forever. It's the only life that makes sense. Live for what lasts forever. I once heard someone, I like this, compare eternity to a line that stretches infinitely in both directions. Think back to geometry class. So I took geometry in high school. That was when I wasn't studying. But I remember this. A line in geometry is a series of points, right, a series of dots that stretch out infinitely in both directions. Anybody remember that? Right, geometry 101. A line is a series of points that stretch out infinitely in both directions. And so that is a good comparison for eternity, because eternity continues infinitely in both directions. Okay, let's get a picture of this. I'm going to take this string. I'm going to have this yarn, this string, represent eternity. Jeff, could you help me for 1 second? So here's what I need for you to do, is just take the end of this and walk back to the back door. You don't have to leave. Watch my fingers. This is not as easy as you think. So we're going to have this line represent eternity, right? And all we're going to do is make Jeff go to the door. We're not going to make him leave, okay? So that's, sorry, it won't hurt. You might get hit by eternity, but you won't get hurt by eternity. So, all right, so we're gonna imagine this line is eternity, okay? Now, here's what I need you to do, though. I need you to imagine that line that Jeff just took it out the door, okay, across Las Vegas, across Nevada, across America, across the globe, out into outer space, past the sun, out of our galaxy, and it just keeps going forever, okay? This line is eternity, right? And the Bible says there are only a few things that last forever. It says God does, God's word does, and the human soul does. That's it, okay? So you last forever. You and I are on this line. Now, we have a beginning point on this line, but once we begin, listen, we will never end. Okay? Our life is going to begin, and then it just keeps going and going forever. It never ends. Your life is going to stretch out for all eternity. Okay? Now, your life here on earth, how long does that last? Maybe 70, 80, maybe 90 years, right? That's about it. That's about how long you get here on this planet. So I'm going to make a dot on this line right there. I don't know if you guys maybe in the front can see it. So there is a dot on this line, okay? That dot represents, where did it go? That dot represents your life here on earth, okay? All of your 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years, all is consumed by that dot. And then you continue existing in eternity forever and ever and ever. And so here's what I want to ask you. Everything that you think is important, okay, everything that you obsess over, what is it really? It's a dot, right? It's a dot. How much of this line that you're going to live all through, how much of this line is your job? It's just a dot. Right? How much of this line is your car? Just a dot. Right? Your car payment. Just a dot, right? Your car is temporary. Some of your cars are more temporary than others, but our cars are temporary, right? It's just a dot. Let me ask you this. How much of this line is your money? Your popularity? Your success in life? Just a little dot. Right? How much of this line are the things that you focused on this week, that you were obsessed about this week, that you were consumed by this week, that you worried about this week? Just a little dot, right? Are you really going to choose to live your life for a dot when you're going to exist for all of eternity? Think about that, because it doesn't make any sense, does it? Like if you talk to somebody and they said, I'm just going to live my life for that, even though you'd be like, that's crazy, right? We can make a comparison. If somebody said, I am focusing my entire life on these 2 minutes, you know, I know I'm going to live for here for 100 years, but all I care about is these 2 minutes, you'd be like, that's stupid. You're going to ignore, you know, 99 years, 364 days, 23 hours and 58 minutes, and just focus on 2 minutes. You're going to ignore the rest. That's what I'm going to do. You'd be like, that is a mistake, right? That's what we're doing when we live our life for the dot. We need to stop living for the dot and start living for line things, right? That is the only thing that makes sense. We need to live for what lasts forever. I'm going to end this illustration. I'm going to cut this string, but this is, like, if you're like, what does that represent? It doesn't represent anything, okay? We're just letting eternity go. So eternity just fell on somebody. Sorry about that. Thank you, Jeff. So we're done with our series, right? Like we're going to talk about different stuff. We won't talk about heaven for, I don't know, a while. But here's what I hope. I hope that even though the series is done, I hope for you and for me that it's just starting. Like, I hope it stays with us. It sticks with us. I hope we remember, imagine heaven. Imagine heaven, because it is real. And it is amazing. We know it's real from the Bible. We know it's real from millions of people who say, when I died, it wasn't the end. Like, I went off for this judgment. It's real. right? And it's amazing. By the way, if you're like, I missed this series, it sounds interesting, what's heaven like? That's what we talked about the last 5 weeks. You can listen to it on iTunes, Verve Church. You can listen to it or watch it on the Verve app or on our website. So if you want to catch up and see what you missed, you can do that. Listen, it's real, it's amazing, and you're invited. We're all invited. We can go there. And man, I want you so bad to be there. You want to be there. That's all this life is about. Do we make the choice to spend the rest of our line, all of eternity, with God? I hope you say yes. And when we say yes, that changes everything, right? It changes how we live this life, but also it gives us hope, right? When life isn't what I want it to be, and when I have a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, even a bad life, I know the truth is, it's just a dot. That still hurts, but it's just a dot. I'm going to experience all of eternity in a perfect place called heaven. That changes. That gives me hope, right? And so, man, eternity is coming. Let's live for what lasts forever. All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much for being a God of love, for your just amazing grace, your unconditional love, that even though we're all impure, I'm right at the front of that line too, even though we all have sinned, you love us and you invite us into heaven. And thank you, God, that you're not going to let sin into heaven, because I don't want to live in another world like this. I want to live in a perfect place. And so, because we have sin, you love us so much, you sent Jesus to die for us on a cross, and all we have to do is say yes and put our faith in him. God, I pray that every person in this room makes that choice. We've got some people getting baptized here in 15 minutes who have made that choice, and I'm so excited for them, God. Maybe there's people in this room who have never said yes, and right now, like in this moment, you're waiting, they could say yes, God. Yes, God, I put my faith in Jesus. I realize I do have sin. I'm not good enough to get into a perfect place. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I put my faith in you and what you did on the cross. I say yes. Maybe there's some people who just said yes, and maybe they need to get baptized. Maybe they didn't come prepared. Who cares? They can go home wet. But maybe they need to do that today. I pray we all do that soon. And God, thank you that when we say yes, we know this life feels long, but it's a dot. When I get into eternity, like, this life is going to end up being just a blink that I lived, because I'm going to live forever in this perfect place. God, let that change how we live our lives now. These people, like, they had the amazing luck of dying and getting to look at their lives and realize, I live for the wrong thing. And we hear all these stories about them coming back and making radical changes in their lives. God, we don't need to die to learn that lesson. We can learn it today and let today be a new day and say, you know what? I'm going to make radical change in my life. I'm going to live for love. I'm going to live for what lasts forever. God, thanks for the hope that gives us too. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.